Morning, everybody. I don't know if you can see me back here. I got demoted this morning. No. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. I hope so. He's done so much for us, hasn't he? Amen. Let's start off with singing a little chorus called Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Sing with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, and tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I want you to read this scripture verse with me in Chronicles 29:11. Says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. Aren't you happy for that this morning? I'm glad that we serve a God that's over all, not just our little day-to-day problems, but over our country, over anything. He is Lord of it all, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's sing this other chorus called Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Sing with me. Majesty, worship His Majesty, and unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Sing Majesty, Kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own, and His anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died and now glorified, and the King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died and now glorified, the King of all kings. And so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Sing Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died and now glorified and King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, the King of all kings. If you're able, would you stand with me as we sing the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Thank you for
listening. Amen. You may be seated. Father, we just bless you this morning. We're so glad that we could gather together in the name of Jesus. We could lift you up. We could exalt you with songs like Majesty. And Lord, what a beautiful song, the doxology. It's the theme of our hearts. Lord, there's nothing more important in life than you. Having a relationship with you, God, we long for that. We desire that. We thank you this morning that you have come by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to be with us, to minister to our lives and our needs, our hurts, our pains, our difficulties. God, you are here to cleanse us of our sins, Lord, to remind us that even though we struggle at times in sin, that you still love us. Nothing can separate us from that love. So, Lord, I pray blessing upon each one that's here today. Put your hand upon them. May this be the best hour of this week. It may be an hour that just continues on and on as they go about today and the rest of the week. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, what a joy it is to be together this morning, to see you here in the middle of August. One of these days it's going to cool down. Life is going to get better for we Floridians. Just remember, here we are sweating it out. But come January, February, and March, all those northern people be shoveling snow and cracking the ice off the windshields. And we'll be just running, well, you'll be running around in shorts. So that's great. It's great to be together. It's great to be in the house of God. It's good to see you today. Man, so glad you're here. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Been praying this week that God would touch us, bless us, move in our lives. I believe he's going to do that. Anyhow, it's just good to be together, isn't it? A couple of things this morning. I'll take a moment just to welcome any new friends that we have with us. And if you're new with us today, very first time, we've got a little packet, a little booklet, actually. I got to quit calling it a packet. It's a little Bible promise book that we buy and we like to give out to our new friends. And it's wonderful because when you're just trying to figure out what scripture, what promise you want to really hang on to with a need that you're having. Might be a physical need or an emotional need or a spiritual need. You go, okay, I know God speaks about that in his word and he gives me promises. This little book is powerful for that. And we have that to give to you today. I'll be at the back, right corner in the back after the service today with a whole stack of these. So if you're here with us for the first time, come on back and introduce yourself. Say hello and pick up your little gift. And I want to take a moment, it's not her first time, but Shirley Tucker is here with us today. And Shirley Tucker's having a birthday, and we like to celebrate 90th birthdays around Nettles Island Church. So Shirley's having a birthday. Shirley, would you just stand up? You don't have to stay standing, but I want everybody to, no, she doesn't want to. That's Shirley right back there. She just waved at me. Let's just celebrate you today. God bless you, Shirley. I'm so glad that God's given you this milestone. You've made it into the 90s, and I don't know, he may have a whole lot of more years for you just to keep living and serving him. I hope he does, and I hope he keeps you healthy and strong and safe. Thanks for being with us again today, and thanks for celebrating your birthday with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of announcements that go along with this morning. Number one is it's very important. We'll do the missions of Joshua's Promise. That's in the bulletin. Keep praying for those folks. They do a great job. Nettles Island Church supports them financially and with prayer. And your prayers are very, very important with that. The next thing is the church directory. We've got a church directory situation that you're all aware of. You're probably tired of me talking about it, but we just have to really keep moving this thing so that we can get all of you in it. Oh, that's my hope, is that everybody that goes to Nettles, whether you're a member, whether you're an attender, you're just even thinking about becoming a regular part of Nettles, we still want you to come and be part of our directory. And so today is makeup day. Right after the service, going through these double doors and straight on through the kitchen into the back porch, Tammy's going to be back there today with her team, and they're going to take some photographs of you if you'd like to have your photograph taken. If you haven't, or if you didn't like the one that you had taken, Tammy said she'd redo. So don't forget about that. I'll try to remind you at the end of the service. And the other thing is last week Tammy was teaching some of our folks how to get on the app. It's an amazing thing. It's on your phone. So, I mean, you say, hey, I know that person, but I don't remember their name. It's right there on your phone. You don't have to run home and get the directory and then forget who you ran into and what they look like by the time you get home. And so Tammy's going to be having some folks that are going to help you to get on the app today, okay? We had 5 last week, and we're going to make that available right after the service, right up here. If you just come and sit here, it can take 5 or 10 minutes maximum. Get that photo directory on your app. These ladies have done a great job. Tammy and her team have done a fantastic job, and I'm so proud of what they've produced, and I'm excited for all of us to have a new directory. And then the last thing I want to say is the Peru missions trip. You know, in January, this coming next year, in January 2025, the Perseys, of course, you know the Perseys, they'll be back, and they're going back to Peru, and they've twisted my arm a little bit, not very hard, but a little bit, and I'm going to go with them to Peru in January for a week, and I'm excited about that. And so I asked John, I said, since I'm going, can I open this up to anybody in the church that would want to go? And he said, yeah, that would be great. So if you have even an interest or you just want to know a little bit more about what they're going to be doing and the costs and the dates and the travel arrangements, back on the table, that little table that goes out the main back doors, there's a stack of Peru missions trip information. There's a sheet with all the information. So pick one of those up, even if you just have an inkling. You know, I'm not saying you're going to do it if you pick one up, but you just might want to see what's going on. And so it's going to be great. I'm excited. I'm excited to get to go to Peru and serve the Lord and take a week and be a missionary for Jesus. So I'm inviting you. Come on with me if you are able and you feel up to it. Amen and amen. I think that's it for my announcements. Isn't God good? Isn't he amazing? Aren't you glad that you're a believer, that you're a Christian, that you love him, but more importantly, that he loves you every day? Every day. Steve's going to continue to lead us in some praise and worship this morning. Just open your hearts. Listen, I don't sing well, but I sing loud. So that's okay if you want to do the same. All righty. God bless you. God bless you, Steve.
You only get sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, and sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Amen.
We played this last Sunday during Prelude when we all get to heaven. and it got stuck in my head all week. And so we're going to sing it this morning. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Sing with me this morning. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And let us then be true and faithful, trust every day. Just one glimpse of him and glory. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. And what a day that will be. And what, let's change keys here. And what a day that will be. Yes, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Think about this. And there is coming a day. Sing this again. There'll be no sorrows there, and no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it out. And what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. In that verse, it talks about there'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain. Who's looking forward to that? I don't got as many years as a lot of you, but I've faced some sickness in my life, and it really weighs us down. Pastor Rob, if you mind coming up now.
Amen, Jesus. Amen.
It says no more parting over there. Forever I will be with the one who died for me. He probably won't like this, but I want to have a little, before we pray this morning, Pastor Rob hasn't been feeling good, and he's not going to tell you that. But I believe in the power of prayer. Do you this morning? Amen. So I'd like to have just a special prayer before we do our corporate prayer this morning. And just pray for our pastor that he feels that he's got a lot on his shoulders. And I believe that God can heal him. So let's pray this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful that we get the opportunity to bring our burdens and our sicknesses and our pain to you, Lord, and that you care, Lord. Lord, we know that you're still a healing God, and you still want to touch and work in our lives, Lord. We pray for Pastor Rob right now, Lord. Mm-hmm. We pray that you give him a healing touch, Lord, that you just touch his body and help him as he preaches the word, Lord. Anoint him this morning. God, in all you do, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In your name we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Let's just continue on in our prayer for needs this morning. And thank you, church. And thank you, Steve, for your joining in faith in that with me today. God's got this. I'm not worried about it. He's my healer. I've been standing on his word all week, declaring over and over by his stripes. I get to be healed. And he's doing it. He's doing it. It's good. We have great needs this morning. We've got Gloria Hudak O'Hare that lives here on Nettles. Sandy Stankey on Nettles lives here. And then Lee Kelly is Jan Pennington's sister. She lives in Indiana. And these three ladies have all been diagnosed with cancer. They're battling cancer today. God's bigger than cancer. God's bigger than any problem that we'll ever face. He's able to do mighty works. But we have to ask and we have to trust. And we have to go to him with faith and belief. We've got to believe. So let's do that together. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we pray for needs today, that you're the great need meter. You are the I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know every situation we are formed. We know that we're but dust, but yet we're so precious that before we were formed in our mother's womb, you knew us. And so, Lord, you know the needs that are there today. You know the needs in this congregation. God, we pray for Gloria and Sandy and Lee today. We just cover them with the precious blood of Jesus. We pray in faith today, believing that you'll intervene in their lives, that you'll move in their lives and do a mighty work. Lord, that your perfect plan and will be done in their lives. Lord, for those that are on the list that, Lord, they've been on the list more than today, we just lift them up today to you. You know every need, every situation. Those in this fellowship today, in these seats that are battling or burdening something, God, undertake. God, give us a sense of faith and hope and trust today. That when we walk out of these doors, that we're going to walk out here knowing that God's got this and the victory is on its way. We give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Al Bolhuis is coming. He's got a beautiful song that he's going to minister to us with this morning. I Got Saved.
There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. And since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. I got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing God goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me his power. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That sets up what we're going to be sharing for the next several weeks together. We've got a series that I'm starting this morning called Battle Ready. Battle Ready. We sang some really, really neat songs about victory in heaven this morning. And when we all get to heaven, we're going to be with Jesus and we're going to shout, sing and shout about the victory. But I want you to know today that we are in a battle. We're really in a war. Every one of us, especially if you're a Christian this morning, because you've got an arch enemy that hates you because he hates God and you love God. And we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to walk in victory. A lot of people think, well, life is just so hard. And it is hard at times. It is difficult at times. But we're going to talk about this series, Understanding Spiritual Warfare. Now, I want this church to know that we are in a battle every day. And the more we strive to serve Jesus, the more we strive to put our hearts toward Him and to do His will and accomplish His plan and reach our neighbors and our friends with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more the enemy will work to try to destroy what we're doing and try to take us down. So let's look at our passage this morning. This is going to be our theme passage in the next couple of weeks. It's Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church in Ephesus, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand, or to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which is with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Greg Laurie, pastor out in California, was involved in the movie that came out last year that had to do with the revival in the 60s. It took place. Some of you went to see the movie. Greg Laurie was the young man that got saved, and God's done great things. Greg said this. He said, being a Christian is not an easy path in life. You believe that? I do. I agree with Greg. It's not easy. Sometimes it'd be easier just to lock the doors and stay in the house and go back to sleep than to live life on purpose with a call and a passion for Jesus. He went on to say, Jesus Christ never said that once you become saved and turn your life over to Him, everything will be all happiness and rainbows and roses. The truth is that Christians will continue to be tempted and face evil and opposing forces that want nothing more than to stop us and put an end to our faith, to our commitment to Christ, and to our service to the Lord. Spiritual attacks are very real. It's not something that's made up in comic books in Hollywood. It's very real. And they happen and can happen at any stage of a Christian's life. We don't outgrow them. We don't become senior citizens and the devil goes, they're not a bother anymore. But the enemy is working to bring us down and he never sleeps. He doesn't need to sleep. A spiritual attack is when evil forces, whether they come through some person physically. The enemy can use a person. But a lot of times it's just spiritual and we don't understand it. We don't see it. It's not in the physical realm and we're not sure what's going on. But a spiritual attack is evil forces battling against Christians. And the scripture tells us and talks a great deal about the very threat of the evil one and his attacks against God's people. This isn't something that God has hidden and that we really don't need to know about. For example, in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible tells us to be alert and be sober. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking or looking for someone to devour. So he's a devourer. Ephesians 6:12, we read it in our text this morning. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, it's against authorities, it's against powers of this dark world and spiritual forces that are in the atmosphere. When it says the heavenly realms, that's not up where God's at in the third heaven, the heaven of eternity, where we're going to spend our eternity. That's the atmosphere that we can look up and we can see. And there's that atmosphere where we see the stars, and then there's one between, and then finally there's the heaven of God. And so there's a battle that's going on every day in the heavenly realms, in the atmosphere that you and I don't see. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Let me say that again. The weapons that we fight with. So it's presupposed that we're in a battle, it's presupposed that we're in an army, it's presupposed that we have weapons, and it's presupposed that we're going to fight, but they are not the weapons of the world. But on the contrary, they have divine power, godly power, to demolish the strongholds of Satan. And we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Now, if you're not accustomed this morning to this type of a thought or a message, maybe you've never been in church and heard anything about spiritual warfare talking about or hearing about this, it could be very tempting to downplay it and say, I don't know if I believe any of that, to deny that it even happens. Because we're people that seeing is believing, right? That's a cliche that goes around, seeing is believing. Show me, Missouri, show me state before I'll believe it. But in the kingdom of God, we believe and then it happens, don't we? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not yet seen. And so that plays right into this, that we are fighting a war. Every one of you as Christians are in a battle. You may not know it. You will by the end of this series. And we're in a battle, and that's because spiritual warfare is real, even though it's not necessarily visible. And sometimes it's even difficult for us to recognize when we're facing a spiritual attack. We just attribute it to something else. We think it's all in our head, or we attribute it to an illness, and, oh, I'm just sick, or a bad mood, or maybe bad luck, or challenging circumstances that seem to come our way like a battering ram, and we just always think it's just the way it is, when in reality, we're being pushed hard against. There's a war that's going on against you to get you distracted from doing the things that God has called you and I to do. Perhaps we think that spiritual attacks are only fought in the heavenly realms, in the atmosphere between the angelic forces of good and evil, God's angels and Satan's fallen angels, and that they don't have anything to do with us, or that they only happen to people directly involved in full-time ministry like pastors or missionaries. And if I'm just regular Joe or Jane that goes to church and loves Jesus, devil's not going to bother me. That's not true. And then there are some who think that battling the supernatural forces of evil occurred only in the Bible days. And once the apostles did their thing and the church got a good start, all that spiritual warfare stuff just kind of went by the wayside. And it's not relevant today. Some Christians are like soldiers that have forgotten that they are in the battle, that they're on a battlefield. They've been lulled into a dangerous complacency. I was thinking about this early this morning as I was going through these notes, and what came to my mind was in Revelation chapter 3. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are churches that are listed in Revelation. Some of you have read through that, you know. And the scholars believe those are church ages. Other scholars believe that can be particular, that every church has a personality, and which one are we? That it could be any of those. But some think it's the ages, and what they do is they think that in the last times before Jesus comes back is the last church, Laodicea, and that's the church that they were lukewarm. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They still went to church. They still sang the songs. They still did the worship, maybe brought their tithes and offerings in, went through the motions, but they weren't really seeking God. And in a sense, they were soldiers, that they forgot that they were on the battlefield and they became complacent. Their prayer life maybe withered up. Maybe they got caught up in the cares of life, and Bible reading and study became almost non-existent. And the devil has convinced folks that they don't need to be in church very often. It's only occasionally. You know, life's just too busy. It's just too demanding to come together and to be together in church. And so we have all of those things that will resist us. And those are all ploys of the enemy, of Satan himself, to distract our mind, to make us think that something like this isn't all that real. But we're going to see that it is. All of us here today, except for maybe Steve and his little nephew here, we all remember the Vietnam War, don't we? Remember the Vietnam War? Some of you served in that war, maybe. But over the last 40 or 50 years, Hollywood has created movies and documentaries on the war, and I watched a few of those, and thinking back to those that I've watched, I remembered that the soldiers in these documentaries and movies were making their way through the jungle, and they were very, very alert. It was a different kind of war back then. There was so much jungle, so much foliage, you could walk right past the enemy and not even know he was there. It wasn't like some big open arid desert. It was a different kind of a warfare. They had tunnels and all kinds of things. And so you had these American soldiers that you would see how very alert they were. They were aware of the dangers that they were walking into. They watched where they stepped because they didn't want to step into a booby trap or a mine. And they listened carefully to the sounds around them, because the enemy might be lurking in the vegetation. And that's what you do when you're in a battle and you're in a war against a formidable foe. You have to do that if you're going to survive. And folks, you and I have a formidable foe this morning. And a sobering reality is our enemy, the devil, we read it, is looking for someone to devour. That's you. And that's me. He doesn't care about you. In fact, he hates you because you belong to God. The Bible warns us to stay constantly alert. But that, now, listen, that doesn't mean that we have to get all nervous, we have to get scared. This isn't a fear tactic message. This isn't a scare message this morning. We don't have to be in a state of anxiety. In fact, God says don't do that. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, don't be anxious about anything. That includes what we're talking about today. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And we're going to see in this series that how much stronger and greater and more powerful God is, and how we have the victory and how we can walk in that victory. So there's no need for anxiety if we're today doing the things we're supposed to be doing. There is safety in living in humble dependence upon the Lord. And we have the promise of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that says, greater is he that's in you. Amen? Do you believe that? Greater is he that's in you and me than he that's in the world. The he is Satan and all his forces. So the truth this morning is that God's given us everything that we need to win every battle. Now, I'm not saying we win every battle, because sometimes we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not thinking. Maybe we're caught off guard. We're not very alert like those soldiers were that survived Vietnam, that we're just kind of lackadaisical sometimes. We just let our guard down sometimes, and maybe we lose a battle. But that doesn't mean we're going to lose the war. That doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean we just lay there and cry and just say, I give up. That means we get back up and we keep on going. We get back and put the armor back on that we'll be talking about in the next weeks. In our text scripture this morning in Ephesians 6, we see two things that I want to talk about this morning. First of all is a caution. Paul gives us a caution, and then he gives us an instruction. And I want to talk about the caution first and foremost. So being cautious means two things. Number one, it means knowing our enemy. Knowing our enemy. Now in verse 12, the enemy that we fight is described as an organized, formidable adversary. It's not some Humpty Dumpty. The devil's not some joker, some Flip Wilson little guy in a red suit just running around saying the devil made me do it, and everybody chuckles and laughs and kids and, you know, makes fun. He's real, he's powerful, but he's not all powerful. But our text this morning, and we read it, it describes the hierarchy. It's a system of four levels of authority that can be compared to a military structure. And I want you to know what they are today. This is more going to be informational teaching to help you to win these battles than just inspirational. Oh, that felt so good. I want us to carry this with us. I want this to change our lives from now till Jesus comes. I believe that as we are living in the last days, that the attacks of the enemy will become even more fierce. And that's why I believe that we need to hear this so we can be ready. These four levels of authority that are mentioned, the first one is principalities. And you say, what's a principality? Well, it's the powerful fallen angels. I don't have time to get into all this. It's a lot of theology in here. But when Satan was kicked out of heaven, one third of the angels that God had created that started out right and good, but they turned against God. They sinned against God and rebelled. And when God threw Satan out, he threw one third of the angels out. Those are the principalities. And they have higher ranks. Some, just as we know that we've got archangels, we've got cherubim, we've got seraphim angels, we've got all these different angels. And they in heaven, they have different ranks. So do these. They retained their rank under Satan as their commander in chief. And I want you to see them as the generals. The high generals, the four-star, the five-star generals, and the three-star generals in Satan's kingdom. And then Paul says, not only are there principalities, but we wrestle against or fight against the powers. And the powers are the high command staff, the high command. Think of, in the military, your colonels and your majors. Highly respected, highly honored. You don't mess with those guys. You don't tell them what they're going to do. They tell you what you're going to do. But they are following the high command, and they are getting it in their meetings, and they're disseminating, and they're planning, and then they're organizing, and then they're structuring it and sending it down to the third one is the rulers. This is lower command. Think of captains. Think of lieutenants. And they are the ones who assure that the rank and the file are following the orders from the principalities. And then the last group is the hosts of wickedness. These, I believe, are the demonic forces. You maybe never thought about this before, but really what we're fighting against is we're fighting against Satan. And he's not omniscient. You need to know that. He's not everywhere at the same time. So if he's bothering me, he's not bothering you. If Satan's on my doorstep tonight, he's not on your doorstep. But that doesn't mean that there's not some other form or force of his military power that's not there. And Satan's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. He may not even be out here doing these things, but be structuring them from his particular seat of authority and where he plans and organizes. But we have the host of wickedness, and these are the demonic forces. So you have Satan, you have fallen angels, and then you have demonic spirits. Jesus dealt with the demonics all the time in the scriptures. We read about that, casting them out. And the hosts of wickedness are these demonic forces that move through the atmosphere and throughout the earth. They are the evil spirits that promote hatred and sickness and perversion and other evil thoughts and deeds. Now, I want to say this. Paul's not giving us a detail about Satan's kingdom. Paul's not giving us a detailed teaching. He's not going deep in this, but he's giving us enough so that we know that we're up against an organized army. And that's what we need to know this morning. We don't need to know a whole lot more than that, because greater is he that's in us. But you just need to know that there are a lot of evil spiritual beings out there that are attacking churches and Christians and Christian organizations and trying to bring us down, because we are the very power of Christ on this earth, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if I said this, but Satan and his forces, they're created beings in opposition to God. They're not equal. They're not equal in strength. They're not equal in wisdom. They're not equal in their power with God. And because God loves us, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would have eternal life. And Satan doesn't get to have, he'll live forever, but he's going to live in torment and suffering and punishment in the lake of fire. And he knows that his time is short. And he knows that he already tried to defeat God in heaven thousands and thousands of years ago. And God just threw him right out like he was just a piece of straw. And he can't defeat God. So what does he do? He goes after the thing that God loves the most, God's kids. Goes after us. Goes after us. He's out to steal. He's out to kill. He's out to destroy anything that God loves. That's the only way he can get at God. It's the only way he can do it. He's tried. He failed at God. And so he goes after we humans who are children of God. Now, the important thing that we need to understand is this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Somewhere in this series, I'll talk about wrestling, because you're probably thinking about like WWF wrestling, or, you know, that's been the WWE or whatever they are. I never could watch those much because I always saw them as fake. I thought, man, if you beat somebody that bad, there's got to be a lot more blood than just, you know. But before that, in high school, some of you were probably wrestlers in high school. We're not talking about that kind of wrestling. And we'll talk about that at another time. It's warfare. It's a battle. And we get to win that battle. And there's something important in that we'll see. A key to winning against the forces of darkness is knowing who the enemy is. And one of the devil's tactics is to confuse us about the real enemy, cause us to fight the wrong adversary with the wrong weapons. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, our battle's a spiritual one. The Bible said that this morning. We are fighting a spiritual battle. We're not waging a war against human beings, carnal. Carnal means earthly or natural. We have a real source. We've got to get to the real source of the problem, and the ultimate source is Satan and his hosts. You see, people are going to do us wrong. And what do? We spend our lives fighting and bickering and complaining and hating this one and disliking that one and going against that one. And I want to tell you today that your enemy, your battle is not against the person that's sitting right next to you this morning. It's not against your husband or wife or another family member. It's not your boss or coworker if you're still working. It's not your next door neighbor. It's not any person in this world that you really, that's your fight, that's your battle. Yeah, people are going to do us wrong. People are going to cause us grief. They're going to harm us. They're going to make life hard and miserable for us at times. And our first thought's going to be, well, let's get revenge, or let's. I'm not going to take this laying down. I know I'm supposed to turn the other cheek, but maybe I'll turn it once, and that's it. And then we want to go to war, and we want to, like, whatever they do, we do back. And we think we're going to win this thing. And the foolishness of it is that what's behind them, what's motivating them to bring the attack on us, is what we where the battle is and where we need to be fighting. You see, as believers in Christ, if we try to fight against flesh and blood, we're not necessarily going to win. We might even win a battle, but we're going to lose the war. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us in verse 12. And keep that in mind in this election year. Keep that in mind. This is probably the most volatile election that you and I have ever lived through. There's a lot at stake, and there are two sides, and in this room there are probably two sides. And I'm not here to preach the election. I'm not here to preach politics. I'm here to preach Jesus and the Word of God. But I want you to know that it would be so easy to go to war with your spouse, with a neighbor, with a friend, because they're on the right, you're on the left, or you're on the left, and, you know, whatever. And you know, the truth of the matter is there is someone who's behind the politicians that are damaging this country, pulling the strings and running the show. It's not George Soros. Not saying he's a good guy, but it's not George Soros. Remember a couple weeks ago we preached a message on this world is not our home, if you were here. Keep that in mind, especially as we're in this election time. Oh, we could get so upset, we could get so angry, we could go to war with our friends, and we could lose friends, we could lose family over all of this. And guess what? This world and the United States of America is going to perish. It's going to burn. The Bible says so. Read it. Book of Revelation. But there are evil forces that are controlling the leaders of nations. That's how that works. They either serve God or they don't. And if they're not serving God, then it's the devil that's in charge. A great example of that is found in Daniel chapter 10. Look at these couple of verses, and then we'll kind of wind it down this morning and pick up next week. In Daniel chapter 10, it talks about an angel that hindered Daniel from getting his answer in prayer. Verse 12 says this, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." So Daniel's praying. The minute he starts praying, God dispatches an angel out of heaven with the answer. But let's follow on. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," that's important, "withstood me 21 days. Where? In the atmosphere. And behold, Michael, that's Michael the archangel. Three powerful angels, Michael, Lucifer, who's now Satan, fallen, and Gabriel. Michael is the protection of Israel, the warrior angel. Gabriel is the announcing angel, and we know who Lucifer turned into be. And so God sends, as this powerful angel is fighting against the principality, the greatest of Satan's powers, the principality of Persia, which is modern-day Iran, okay? As that's going on, God has to send his strongest angel, Michael, to come and help. Goes on to say, "For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia," the angel says. "Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." And I don't want to get into all that today, but what's going on is God had given Daniel a vision. And in that vision, he saw the future, but he didn't understand it. He didn't understand it. So he began to pray about understanding it. And that's when this particular God started to answer that and said, "I'm going to send an angel with the answer." And so 21 days, there's a hindrance, and Daniel is fasting and praying, and he is doing warfare. Maybe he doesn't realize it, but he's doing spiritual warfare. And the answer is on its way. And that's why we said last week or the week before, don't ever stop praying. Because we don't know. And that's a whole other side of it, is that the you may be praying, and God sent the answer immediately, and you've got a war going on in the atmosphere with the powers of Satan against God. And if you just give up and quit praying, it may be that that's the end of that. You've got to stay with it. So Daniel stays with it. And what happens is this is, it says of the vision refers to the things many days yet to come. That was the Babylonian Empire, that was the Medo-Persian Empire, that was the Grecian Empire, and now it comes down to, at the very end, it's what's coming, it's what hasn't happened yet. You have the church age that came through after the Grecian Empire, the Grecian-Roman, and then the church age began. But there's one more great battle that's going to happen, and that's the book of Revelation, and that's coming, and God begins to reveal that to Daniel after 21 days. But I want you to notice here, it wasn't a politician that was hindering the angel's assignment. It was the principality who was over Persia, modern-day Iran. The answer was delayed, but it was not denied, and Daniel kept seeking until he got an answer. We can't see what's going on in the heavenlies, but by faith, by the word of God, we know what's going on. We can stand strong against the forces of evil as we pray against them and speak and declare the word of God. Think about Jesus. Think about when Jesus was taken out into the wilderness up on the mount, and he's up there and Satan shows up. 40 days, 40 nights, he's fasting. He's not eating. Satan shows up and starts to tempt him. There's a battle that's going on. But Jesus is battle strong. Jesus is prepared. He's ready. And what does he use? He uses the word of God. The word of God will work for you just like it worked for Jesus. Three times Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And one of those times the angel or the devil said to Jesus, he said, "Look around. Look. They were up on a high plateau or mountain. Look around. See all the kingdoms of this earth? They've been given to me. And I can give them to whoever I want. And Jesus, if you'll just bow down, if you'll just worship me this one time, I'll give you all of this." Now that was a temptation. Because you know how all of this came to Jesus was through his suffering and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And the devil played a hard one on that day. He said, "Jesus, if you will just bow down, you don't have to do what you came to do. It'll be easy. I'll just give it over to you." But you see, he was trying to trick him, because if Jesus had worshipped Satan, he'd have violated the word of God and he would have become impure and unholy and could no longer have been our Savior and our Lord. But Jesus said, "It's written." The devil will come with his wiles, with his deception, and try to do all of that. I'm going to close with just this. I had a second point here where our strength comes from, but I'll bring that up next week. So we have the word of God. We defeat the powers of darkness by the word of God. The word of God. Get those promises in your Bible and underline them and mark them. The promises that show that we have the victory, that Jesus is our provider, that Jesus is our healer, that he's our deliverer, that he's our peace, that he brings us joy and he brings us hope. And get those things and stand on the word and declare the word of God when the battle is going on. The word. And then we have the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, talking about the end times, it says that the saints of God overcame the powers of Satan by the blood of Jesus. Christian, you have the blood of Jesus over you today. His blood was shed and spilt. And one drop is more powerful than all that Satan can muster. And then it says in Revelation 12, 11, they overcame by the blood and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. What's your testimony this morning? I'll define it for you. We all have stories of what God did for us. That's not what it's talking about. My testimony and your testimony is simply this morning. Simply this. Satan, you have no authority over me. You can't control. You can't win. I am battle ready because of the blood of Christ. He shed his blood for me, and because of that, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Now, here's the word of my testimony. I'm saved. Jesus died for me. He was buried for me, and on day number three, get this, he rose from the grave, and he defeated you, devil. He defeated death and hell and the grave when he rose again. If you're a Christian, that's your story. That's what you have. That's in your toolbox. That's in your tool belt. That's what you have. But if we don't know we have it, or if we don't use it, or if we just start whining and crying and begging, "Oh God, please do something. I'm so tired of this headache. Please do something." Nothing wrong with asking God. We should ask. Ask, seek, and knock. But discern. Ask for discernment. God, is this an attack against me? Do I need to resist? Because the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just revealing to us that we're in a full-time battle. We're in a war, God. But God, we can be battle strong. We don't have to just be weak Christians running around and anemic and almost impotent in our lives, God. We can be strong in you. We just have to stay close to you. We've got to walk with you. We've got to hold your hand, hand in hand. And so, God, I just pray today for this congregation that you'll bless us. God, that you'll open our eyes of understanding and our heart to receive and to hear, and that this week we'll think about what's been said, not out of fear, not out of anxiety, as we've mentioned, but God, out of faith and out of a sense of real joy, knowing that we get to win. Greater is he that's in us than the devil that's in this world. Remind us of that all this week as we walk through this week. Lord, we have the victory. We have the victory now. We're not waiting to get to heaven to see Jesus to get it. The victory was purchased at the cross, and we have it now. We just have to fight and stand our ground and wrestle against the spiritual forces. So bless your congregation. Minister to them. Watch over them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, and just as a closing song and a prayer of your heart, let's sing the chorus to Victory in Jesus. And then we'll be dismissed.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
You, my friends, are victorious today because of the blood of Jesus. God bless you. Be with you. Have the best week. We'll see you next Sunday.